Now, thank you very, very much for coming to the meeting tonight. I never know what's going to happen on a Monday night, and on a Monday night after a snowstorm is particularly interesting. So you can imagine that I am absolutely delighted to see so many people who have come tonight. I never, ever, as a preacher, take an audience for granted. And so God is gracious tonight in allowing us to have a meeting, and God is very gracious in allowing you to be here and to hear how you can be saved. Now, before we read from the scriptures, two things. We'll announce the meetings as they continue each night at 7:30. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday will conclude the meetings for this week. And so we invite you to come back to as many of those meetings as you can. You know, I'll just say something in passing, and it's this. In my experience, and I know my experience isn't the end all, but it's been my experience that people who put themselves under the preaching of the gospel on a repeated basis are the people who get saved. There's a lot of folks come in and they listen one night and they go out and they shake the preacher's hand and they say, that was a really nice message, and they don't come back. And I'll tell you the rest of the story, they don't get saved. Now, I know God can save people the first time they come to meeting, and God has graciously done that on many occasions. But if you're interested in being saved tonight, I really appreciate you kids who have come. I like the fact that you sit up front, and I like the fact that you listen so well during the meeting. But this is the best place in the world for you to be, because listening to the gospel on a nightly basis allows God to speak to your heart. So thanks for coming. Remember the meetings for the week. Let's pray. Our Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we thank thee for this amazing message that we've been singing about in our hymns tonight, that there's power in the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse from all sin. We thank thee, Lord, that this puts the finger squarely on our problem. It is our sin. But Lord, we thank thee that it also identifies so wonderfully to our heart the great provision that has been made at the cross, the giving of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior who came into the world, and the great work that he completed when he gave himself for us at Calvary. Tonight, Lord, we thank thee that the Lord Jesus is not a dead figure from history. He's a living Savior who rose from the dead. And tonight he's present with us as the gospel is preached, the unseen guest that invites every person here to receive him. And so, Lord, we pray that there might be people who would listen to what God has to say to them, that might yield to the invitation of the Savior. We remember his words, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And so, Lord, bless your word in this meeting tonight. Remember our friends who have been out on previous nights but are unable to return tonight. We do pray that the scriptures that they have heard and the preaching that they have listened to will be used by thy Holy Spirit in bringing them to salvation as well. And so give help in this meeting. Lord, we pray. We ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to ask you to turn tonight to the book of Acts, chapter 4. Now, if you have a Bible, that is the fifth book of the New Testament. There are four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Then the book of the Acts, where we'll read. But tonight, we have an advantage, and that is that on your right, over my left shoulder, the text I'm going to read is right here. And some of you who were here the other night know that Mr. Hunt read from this verse too. And that doesn't bother him, and it doesn't bother me that we're going to read the same verse all over again. I think up where he comes from, there was a man named Mr. McElwain. I just forget how many weeks. Brother David, it just occurs to me. How many weeks did he preach on John 3:16? Do you remember that story? I think he preached for 6 weeks on John 3:16. And one night he thought, you know, I ought to do something different. So he preached on another verse, and it didn't go very good. And when he was all done, his father looked at him and said, "What on earth were you doing?" He said, "You were getting along great with John 3:16. He says, "You go back to it." Well, we're not going to read Acts 4 and verse 12 every night in this series, but it doesn't hurt to read it a couple of times and listen to its truth. So we'll read it together, Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12. "Neither is there salvation in any other." Now, I'm going to stop, because maybe you're wondering who this verse is about. And in order to do that, we'll just back up to verse number 10 and look at the center of the verse, because what Peter is preaching about, who Peter is preaching about, is found in verse 10. Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead. So that's the subject that's on the mind of the gospel preacher. Now, verse 12 then, neither is there salvation in anyone other than Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who is crucified and raised from the dead. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Let me read that again just one more time, and I trust God will fix it upon your heart. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. One of my great concerns as a gospel preacher is that in the year 2015, right now, here in Canada, there are a lot of people that are not as familiar with the Bible as they ought to be. You know, if you go back to when my grandpa or even my dad was going to school when he was a young person, you know, they read the Bible in the school. And sometimes they even sang some hymns. And children were instructed about the Ten Commandments. People generally went to church on Sunday. People, even though they weren't saved, had a basic working knowledge of what the Bible was about and what its words meant. The biggest mistake that a gospel preacher can make in 2015 is to assume that his audience knows what he's talking about. And I sometimes catch myself saying, well, as you know, and I realize there are people in my audience that don't know. You know, I was with my wife, this just occurs to me, a couple of years ago. We were in western Montana in a town called Missoula. And there is a state fair there, and so my wife and I had a little 10x10 tent, and we had some seed sowers, some John 3:16s, some gospel papers, some magnets, and so we thought we'd go, and we'd distribute them at this fair. And so we set up our little booth, and after a couple of days, there was a very nicely dressed Native American man in a booth right across from us. And, you know, he was watching us. And we didn't say a lot to him. We were talking to other people. But one day near the end of the day, he came over and he kind of stood beside me. And he said, I have a question for you. I said, well, I love questions. I said, go ahead and ask. He said, well, I don't want to ask you here. He said, why don't you come over to my booth? And I said, well, that'll be okay. So we walked over to his booth, and he kind of looked around, and he said, I don't want to ask you in front of these other people. He said, come around behind the curtain where I can talk to you. And I didn't know, you know, I mean, you know, I don't have any hair to take off, so I don't know what he wanted to do back there, but I thought, I'm game. I'll go back there with him. And so we got behind the thing, and he got all serious. He said, are you a religious person? Well, I've been handing out, you know, thousands of John 3:16s all day. I thought maybe that was kind of obvious, but I go along with it. I said, well, you know, I mean, I guess, you know, if whatever you mean by that, yeah, sure I am. He said, well, then I've got a question for you. And I could see that the man was dead serious. He said to me, he said, you know, he said, I like to watch football. I thought, this conversation's going south in a hurry because I don't know anything about football. But he said, listen, he said, when I watch football, he said, every once in a while, the camera points into the end zone, and he said, there's somebody in that end zone, and they hold up a sign. And he said, I think it has something to do with the Bible, but I don't know. He said, can you explain it to me? I said, what's the sign say? Now, don't laugh. Do not laugh. He said, it says John 316. He said, mister, can you tell me what that means? You know what I discovered? He was a man who was 30 years old, give or take a year or two. He had never held a Bible in his hand. He didn't know one word that was found in this book. And of all the things that I've done in my life as a gospel preacher, I can tell you that there was nothing so thrilling to my soul that day than to go back over to my side of the aisle and grab a Bible and put it into that man's hand and show him how to find the Gospel of John, chapter 3 and verse 16, and to tell that man for the first time in his life that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, I think that most of you here in this room would know John 3:16. But I just am telling that by way of just talking about one thing. This verse that we have read has a word in it that I'm very interested tonight. We have read, we must be saved. And just while I was sitting there next to Mr. Hunt and looking up here at the platform, I realized that that word is in the other verse up here. Whoever chose the verses here in Sarnia, you have my hearty approval. I love it. Because, look, it's in this verse too. And this is my verse. I was brought to Christ through these words. For by grace are ye, here it is again, saved through faith. So here's what I want to do tonight. I just want to ask and answer a simple question. What does it mean to be saved? Like, you know, Brother David and I, we do this all the time. And it's likely that tonight, between his preaching and my preaching, normally, we would probably use the word saved, what, 50 times maybe? 100 times? I don't know how many times we would say it. But we would fill our preaching and fill our conversation with this concept. People need to be saved. They need God's salvation. The Lord Jesus is the Savior. But you know something, folks? It just impressed me today. If people don't know what the word saved means, then really it's just a bunch of hot air. Because if you don't know what it means, how will you take in its great truth? Let's talk about what it means to be saved. A number of years ago, I'm going to tell you a little story. This will help you, I hope. A number of years ago, over in Michigan, just about 50 miles from here, straight west, over in the thumb of Michigan, is a little town called Croswell, Michigan. And odds are pretty good that I'm the only person in the room that's ever been in Croswell, Michigan. But back about 100 years ago, on the banks of the Black River, there was a little gospel hall. Not a big commodious building like this one, just a little wood frame building with a little front door on it. And there was the river and a bank, and there was a parking lot to tie up the horses and the buggies. And a little gospel hall, the Croswell Gospel Hall. One day in the wintertime, a day just like today, there was a meeting going on in that building. And the parking lot was full of buggies and horses, and the people were inside the little church building there. But down on the river, the boys in the village were ice skating. I know I'm in Ontario, so I'm preaching to the choir here, but boys in Ontario and boys over in Michigan, we lived to ice skate. And if you could find a patch of ice that was the size of this room, we'd have a puck and some hockey sticks and we'd be out playing hockey. Well, there were some boys out there skating on the ice. But what I hope you all know about ice skating outside off of a rink is that sometimes that can be dangerous. Because sometimes the current in the river under the ice can, I don't know what it does, but it actually comes up and kind of scoops out a hollow place and makes the ice very thin. And those boys were just playing away, oblivious to what was going on, when suddenly one of those boys went right down through the ice into that freezing water. Now, I don't know if you've ever fallen into freezing water. I've done it once on a sled. Pretty stupid of me. I want to tell you something. That is a paralyzing thing. And here's this boy. He's got his ice skates on. He's got his coat on. And I want to tell you something. That boy was immediately in trouble. You know, his pals, you know, they made a good decision. You know, sometimes we laugh and say, if you have one boy, you have one brain. If you have two boys, you have half a brain. We're not going to insult anybody here tonight. But these boys made a good decision. They realized that it would be dangerous for them to ride or rescue their friend. So you know what they did? One of them, he didn't take off his ice skates. He ran up the bank and he ran across the parking lot full of horses and buggies. And he ran right up to the front door of the gospel hall, started beating on the door. Well, it interrupted the meeting and the men jumped up and they came to the door. And the little boy just said one thing. He said, "My buddy is drowning." So what do you think those people did? I know I have my tongue planted very firmly in my cheek just now, but they didn't hold a prayer meeting. They just piled out of that gospel hall and down to the side of the river. And there was a man in that meeting. I've heard this from good sources. He weighed about 350 pounds. He was the anchor. He stood on the bank. And you know, the next fellow linked arms with him, and the next fellow linked arms with him until there was a human chain right down to the spot where the little fellow went through the ice. And I want to tell you, by the time they got there, the situation was very serious. That little boy had expended all his strength. He had nothing left. He couldn't rescue himself. In fact, he was within a breath of perishing. When that man reached down from above and grabbed him right by the scruff of the neck, and he lifted him to safety. That boy was, fill in the blank. What would you say? Saved. What would you say? Would you say that word? Saved? Everybody? What was it? He was saved. See, he was perishing. And he was helpless to change his situation. He could flail. He could beat the ice in the water. He could scream for help. But at the end of the day, the boy was helpless. And he was about to perish. But you see, somebody intervened on his behalf. Somebody cared enough about him. They didn't care if there was a church service going on. They didn't care that they didn't have their overcoats on. They didn't care that they had their boots on. They didn't call 911 and wait for a rescue helicopter. No, they saw a boy in his need. And they came right to where he was. And somebody reached down from above and lifted that boy to safety. Y'all hear what John said? That boy was saved. By the way, I'll come over on this side. What do you call the man that reached down to lift him out? What do you call him? A savior. Absolutely. I want to tell you tonight, our message in the gospel is a really simple message. It's a message that boys and girls can take in. It's a message that adults can take in. Because we need to be saved tonight. And we need a Savior. And we have come to tell you that the problem of our sin that is taking us down to hell, the problem of our sin from which we cannot relieve ourselves, the problem of our sin from which we cannot extract ourselves or somehow change, that in spite of the awful news that sinners are perishing, there's wonderful news tonight. That there's a Savior who has come from heaven. And His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm here to tell you just as simply as my little heart can, that once I was the little boy and I was sinking in my sin, but there was somebody who loved me enough to come right to where I was. And He lifted me. He saved me. He rescued me. You know, I believe in truth and advertising. You know, if it weren't for that Savior, I might be in hell tonight. I might not be here in Sarnia. My life could be vastly, I'm sure my life would have been vastly different. But I've been saved. I've been rescued. I have a Savior, a deliverer. Oh, and by the way, what do you think that little boy did when the man pulled him out of the water? I never heard, so I can't tell you for sure, but I'm pretty sure I know. I'll tell you, his heart for the rest of his life would be filled with gratitude to the one who saved him. You know, in this meeting tonight, I'm looking out into the faces of people, and they love the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just because he's some religious icon, not simply because it's the result of some theological or philosophical thing that we have come to. It's far more personal than that. There's a moment in each of our lives when we discovered that we needed a Savior. You know, there are people in this room, they've been saved for many, I'm looking at some of my friends here, they've been saved for many, many, many years. And I don't know what's clear in their mind and what's not. I'm not going to speculate. I'm going to tell you one thing they'll never forget. One day they found out that they were lost and perishing in their sins, and they discovered that God had sent a Savior to save them. You ever forget that? Never. A Savior, Christ the Lord. I just want to, in the moments that remain, tell you of the wonder of this great salvation. It is a salvation story. It is a message of salvation that tells us about three things. I'd like you to listen just for 5 minutes, and then I'm going to sit down. This gospel message tells us about a person that was sent to be the Savior. Secondly, it tells us about a price that was paid so that we could be saved. And last of all, it tells us about a power that can be seen in folks who are rescued from their sins. Let me tell you first of all about the person who was sent. You know, the gospel is not a mystery. We're not here to tease you along and hope that you can figure out what we're talking about. I despise that sort of preaching. I just like to just blurt it right out. Listen, the message of the gospel tonight, the message of salvation, the thing that allows us to look people in the eye and say, friend, look, you need to be saved, is the fact that there's a Savior that's already been sent. We're not looking for a Savior. We're not hoping for a Savior. You know, people in the Old Testament, that's quite something, isn't it? You know, for centuries, they dreamed about the child that would be born, that would be the Savior. Nice to live in 2015. We're not looking forward to something that might be. We're looking back to something that's happened. Listen to the words of the great apostle John. The Father sent the Son to be, what do you think the next word is? To be the Savior of the world. Friend, tonight this message of salvation revolves around this great truth. God has sent His beloved Son, the eternal Son of God who dwelt forever with the Father, is the one who in willing love was sent to be the Savior of the world. But you know, I want to tell you that not only was this glorious person sent, but I want to tell you about the tremendous price that was paid so that we might be saved. You know, in the story that I told you, everybody remember the story about the little boy on the ice? See, you know, the illustrations that we use aren't perfect. They always have something in them that isn't quite right when we're talking about the gospel. And this is the part of the story of the boy in Croswell, Michigan, that isn't quite right, because really it didn't cost the man anything to reach down and save the boy. I mean, it cost him a few minutes of his time. Probably had some, maybe he caught a cold being out in the freezing weather without his coat on or something like that. Maybe there was some minor expense that was incurred. Maybe he ruined his shoes running out into the snow. I don't know, something like that. But the story breaks down in this. That when it comes to our salvation, when it comes to our Savior, He paid an infinite price so that we might be rescued and redeemed. You know, I met a lady one time down in Ohio. I've got time to tell this, and I'll be finished in just a minute. And I was going door to door with some little John 3:16 texts, actually. And, you know, I don't find it easy to just meet people for the first time. I struggle with that a little bit. So I went up on her porch, and I knocked on her door, and she came to on the other side of the screen door. And I just held up the text, and I said, ma'am, I said, I've got something for you. And I said, it's absolutely free. And she kind of backed up a step and she did exactly what she should do. She said, mister, she said, there's nothing in this world that's absolutely free. And she was right. But she looked at what I was holding in my hand. And then she said the most wonderful thing. She looked at it. She looked at me. She looked at it. And she looked at me. And she said, oh! She said, I'm wrong. She said, God's salvation is absolutely free. I could have kissed her. Really. It was great. So you won't believe what I said next, will you? I said, ma'am, you're wrong. And then she looked at me like the spaceship was parked out back for a minute. And then she looked at the text. And she looked at me. And she looked at the text. And she looked at me. And she said, oh. She said, God's salvation is free to me. But it cost God everything. And about then I'd have kissed her on the other cheek, you know. It's great stuff. She understood. God's salvation gloriously is free to us. You can't buy God's salvation. You can't pay for it. You can't earn it. You can't work for it. You cannot deserve it. There is absolutely nothing that you can offer to God to affect your salvation. But I want to tell you something. It wasn't free. Because on the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ, in drops of precious blood, he yielded his life for a world of guilty sinners. And from that infinite sacrifice, from that price that was paid on Calvary, this message of salvation is freely preached tonight. My time is gone. I'll just tell you about the last one really quick. It tells us about a person that was sent and a price that was paid. I want to tell you that when a person is saved, there's a great power that is displayed. This is what the Bible says. This is what the Apostle Paul said. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is the power of God unto, here's our word again, unto salvation to everyone that believeth. You need power in your life tonight. You and I are just like that little boy. We're powerless to save ourselves. We're powerless to please God. We're powerless to fit ourselves for heaven. But in the cross and in the blood of Christ, what were we singing about at the beginning? There is power. Power, wonder, working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. May God help you to be saved tonight. May God help you to receive this Savior. May God help you to have this great salvation. Here's our text. We must be saved.